people have not been taught to be responsible digital citizens. So most of us, I think, in our cultures and our societies, in school, we're taught to be like there's a certain amount of etiquette, there's a certain amount of rules placed on how you communicate, how you would talk to a teacher, how you would talk to a peer, how you would talk to a parent. It's all different. It's all taught. It's that communication that you learn. I personally, and I'm taking this as my standpoint, and it's not something I've heard talked about enough, which is why I will happily pick up the mantle on this one.
I mean, like I said, at that two-day conference, you said you didn't. You know.
I was really disappointed. I mean, I know I had high expectations of something that probably, like, this is might not have been the place that this should come out, but there were two issues tied to this topic I really wanted to hear about.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We're coming down to the end of 2018. It's been a great year, and we want to thank you guys for tuning in each week, and we really appreciate it, you know, since holidays are coming, or
they're
almost here. Essentially
here.
Yes.
We're here. We're in the midst.
We want you guys to give us a little gift. That's right. We're asking. Instead of giving, we want to receive. And all we are asking for is a little review on iTunes or your preferred podcast app.
We give each week in the hopes that we will receive.
Exactly.
That's what you meant to say, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And all we want is a little bitty rating. That's it. It's a couple clicks of the mouse, a couple words. You know, and a 5-star rating. That's it. You know, that's a whole lot. But, and to show how appreciative we would be of your rating, we are going to read it in a future episode. So make sure you guys get in those holiday gifts to the ATF podcast on those rating reviews on iTunes and your Apple podcasts. Those two specifically. Specifically. All right. Good? Yeah.
All right. So awkward.
So, training recaps. I think I mentioned this last week, but I said I was going to be dedicated to doing strength training or getting back into strength training, and I did a pretty good job of that. I actually did some heavy dumbbell and kettlebell sets for the first time in a long time this week. Kettlebell swings, some lunges with presses, incline bench, rows with dumbbells, all kinds of, you know, the classic bodybuilder workout stuff, and it felt pretty good. And I also got an awesome massage from our preferred masseuse, Monique, from Restore Me Massage Therapy, who's great, and who will be giving you a massage very soon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Bob's your uncle.
Okay.
Yep. So that was my training recap for the week, and you had an interesting week, I'd say, because obviously you're still trying to get in your morning exercises, but then you also had some, expedited mornings because you had a work obligation.
Yes. What are you referring?
Well, I'm talking about the conference you went to the last 2 days.
I had a lot of things happen this week. This week has been a little bit of a blur. I feel like, per usual, life just, you know, right when you think you're getting in the flow of things and right when you think, like, yeah, I'm getting, like, a routine down, this stuff's getting, like, almost habitual, and I'm in the green, you know, I'm doing good. Life then throws you a curveball, and it's like, oh, hold on there, friend. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this week I was supposed to teach a meditation class at the beginning of the week at my work. By the way, nobody showed up. Mm. Just goes to show you, in workplace, like office culture, meditation is not so hot.
Yeah.
And yet, I feel like they really need it, especially at my office.
Yeah, I feel like we'll come back to that, maybe revisit that idea later.
Yeah. But then later this week, toward the ends of the week, today I am coming off of two solid days at a conference. Mm-hmm. And the conference happened to be 2 hours away. So I had to drive because, of course, you know, bring Ella to school in the morning and pick her up in the evening because, you know, you have a busy work schedule where you're working early, early and then late, late. Mm-hmm. So I had to drive the 2 hours to and from the last 2 days and then be at a conference with a client while also doing my regular job, my regular work remotely. So I'm a bit exhausted.
Yeah.
And this may be TMI for some people, but as I am a wellness advocate, I will just put it out there.
Let it all out.
Also, as I am trying to cycle sync, this week was a low energy week for my particular cycle and much more needed to focus on not the high impact stuff. And it lines up perfectly. I'm trying to match my activity level and my food and just kind of my focus areas in my life based off of like what phase I am in my cycle. That's what cycle syncing is, if you're curious.
Okay. Now I know.
You're kind of backing away from me suspiciously.
No, I'm in. Tell me more.
And so this past week, it was like the opposite of the previous week. So last week I did 5 or 6 days of activity. I did lots of high impact stuff. I did HIIT. I did spinning. And this week was the polar opposite. It was my low energy week where my hormones were like crashing down. My energy was super low. My iron levels were low. And I felt it for sure. So that on top of everything else, I think I did 2 or 3 days of activity and it was all just like yoga.
I think you got on the bike this week, didn't you?
I did actually. Yeah. I did the very beginning of the week I did, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, otherwise it's been pretty light, pretty low key.
Right.
But I do think that form of cycle syncing everything, it works better for me personally if I pay attention to kind of where I am and not push myself to do things that my body's really just not there to do.
Yeah.
It's like that's when you like further stress your body out and deplete your adrenals and I have enough of that.
Yeah. I mean, we've also had like a little bit of milestone with Ella dropping a feeding and, you know, now we're going to be.
Oh, that. We're going to be.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? We have not done it yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
By the time this comes out, we will
hopefully
have done it. Yeah.
By the time knock this podcast comes, podcast comes out. We will be down to one nursing time a day. And I don't say like hopefully as in like I can't wait. It's more of just like this has been kind of a long time coming and it is a milestone.
Yeah.
I feel like for both Ella and I, it's like something that we had to hit the right time. Every time we've like cut back on a feed session, it's felt like exactly right for her and me. And it hasn't felt right until, like, literally one day this week. It was just like, it's time.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I, like you told me, you said I'm going to have to start taking a little bit more charge in the morning. But, I mean, which is good.
Yeah.
Some charge because, like you said, it was usually exclusively you and Ella because you had the necessary equipment that I didn't have. So now I'm going to be taking part in her breakfast. So
yeah, the morning routine.
Yeah, the morning routine.
The morning routine will include Dad now more than just like coming and waking her up. But you're actually going to be able to be a part of the morning routine, which I don't know from a dad's perspective. How does that feel?
I'm a breakfast guy, so I love breakfast. Is my favorite meal of the day.
Well, I mean, it's breakfast and it's the morning routine.
Oh, well, no, that's a morning routine. I get it. Yeah, but, I mean, it's centered around. It's like, you know, her first meal of the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get the routine aspect. I love morning time. I'm a morning guy.
I know. Literally, like, when he says he, like, jumps out of bed in the morning, he does. It's disturbing. And for me, who, like, has to peel herself off the bed and then melt onto the floor into a puddle, I'm just mystified, so.
Yeah.
You go.
This morning, I actually woke up late. I was worried because I forgot to set my alarm. And I had an early morning this morning, and then your alarm went off, luckily.
My still four late. Alarms?
Yeah, luckily it was still an hour before I had to leave, but still, I would have liked to have been up a little bit earlier, but luckily everything went well. So, as you mentioned, you were at a conference the last few days, and it really centered around social media and all aspects of, I guess, the marketing from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly for like brand marketing and stuff mm-hmm. like that, how you utilize it for your business.
Right, and that the more kind of the broader topic of social media is kind of what we're going to tap into right now with this article that you discovered about the effect of social media on anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, anybody who... This has been talked about for years. Like, I mean, this is not something I think that's breaking news so mm-hmm. much as it is now. It's scientifically proven.
Right.
Like, it had never been conclusively connected that social media causes depression.
Right.
And it's just been amongst social media users. There's a more prevalent, like, bit of depression.
Yeah, so what kind of the general research that's been done previously before this article or the study we're going to talk about in this article have been survey studies, like what they call epidemiological studies. And those prove what you say, correlation, not causation.
Yes.
So they basically...
That's what I meant.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm just putting a little bit more science-y behind
it. Yeah, I love it.
So these studies are really good kind of preliminary steps to produce the experimental studies that have a little bit more, kind of concrete data behind them. And that's what they did, you know, as Shannon mentioned, and I'm sure everybody's heard once before, you know, certain amount of social media causes these types of feelings and people are more likely to feel these feelings. But now they actually did a study at the University of Pennsylvania where researchers monitored 143 individuals. And basically what they did is they split them into two groups. One group, they said they limited their social media to 30 minutes a day. I think that's what it says. Yes.
Yeah.
30 minutes total spent on social media daily. So they gave like three main social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and said you can only use them for 10 minutes a day, total of 30 minutes. And then the other group was, what'd they say?
They could use it as much as they wanted.
Yes, nope, exactly.
No, like, restrictions.
Mm-hmm. So, and what they discovered was that people showed a substantial decline in depression and loneliness after they cut back on their social media use.
Well, for the people that they allowed to continue using social media as however they wanted, those people did not see a change, whereas the people who were limited,
right,
they're the ones that saw the decline in feelings of depression and loneliness.
Right. One of the PhDs on the study, Melissa G. Hunt, said that using less social media than you normally would leads to significant decreases in both depression and loneliness. These effects are particularly pronounced for folks who are more depressed when they came into the study.
So, I mean, I think, like, among social media professionals, people who have been working in social media, it's kind of been a not common sense, but it's been something we've felt and realized. Like, there's usually a decent amount of burnout in the social media, like, profession. You can't really take a whole lot of it. I mean, social media managers, they sort of come and go because it's kind of brutal being immersed mm-hmm. in social media all the time. And that's just that's professional uses, but you're surrounded by this immense amount of negativity. So it's not surprising at all. I'm really relieved actually that there's now research that proves one causes the other.
Right. And I think I listen to a lot of podcasts, and usually it's, you know, people that are a little bit more well-known being interviewed, and it's they have to deal with online, I guess probably one of the common phrases are trolls or whatever. So
that is an actual technical term we use.
And, you know, a lot of people say, hey, just ignore them. But, I mean, I can't even imagine how that's possible to ignore them when they say some of the stuff that I've heard, you know, talked about. You know, people that have basically, I mean, just life events that are so, I guess, like, demanding is not the right word, but just, like, they're so heavy, you know, they're emotional, you know, they're, like, emotionally draining. And then when you get some Yahoo basically saying, you know, they're glad that you're going through this situation.
Yeah.
You know, it just exacerbates it. It exacerbates your feelings and just you wonder why, how somebody could be so cold and callous when they've never even met you.
Yeah.
You know, and it would take a strong person just to ignore that anyways. I think even the strongest people can get affected by that.
Yeah.
Whether either be reacting, you know, even reacting, like saying maybe coming back at the person is still a negative. That's still a negative reaction. Even though if you want to like counter them, you know, or just like respond to them, that's what they're looking for anyways, most likely, to elicit reaction after you, out of you, you know.
Usually, so, yeah. They're people who want to kind of perpetuate that cycle of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, get a rise out of you.
Right.
That's another,
yeah,
another way to say it.
And it's so interesting to think, because, I mean, social media is like, I mean, it's how everybody gets their news nowadays, right?
It is. And it's a communication. So it's a communication channel and platform.
It's so interesting that, you know, like it used to be magazines and periodicals or papers and whatnot.
Yep.
So, I mean, what, I mean, is it because there's the ability for people to comment on basically news articles, or, I mean, what do you think it is? I mean, you deal with it every day.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the difference between, like, the information you get on social media opposed to how you got it, we used to get it, you know, through newspaper or television news?
Well, I will say that when social media first started, this was, and I'm obviously not all channels, but back in the early days, social media was not like this, because social media was used as a communication channel and platform. It was a way to connect people and share information. So the idea that you did things just for like the effect or for the click or for the attention, that wasn't really there. Yeah, for the like, the engagement metric, like that wasn't even a consideration. Like businesses were not even close to considering social media as a platform to be on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now, because there's mainstream media and everybody in your family, including grandma and your 10-year-old nephew, everybody's on social media. It's like, imagine being in a like really crowded hall, like a really crowded hall with tons of people, all with their own interests, all with their own viewpoints. Now cram them into a space and then have them start shouting out, you know, topics that interest them or that are, you know, something that they're seeing. I mean, it's just like if you've ever played the game of telephone, you pass information along and it eventually gets distorted. So that's the internet, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how internet kind of messes up and screws with information. But then now you magnify it by the fact that the information is being shared by so many people in social media because it's so easy to share. But people take it at face value. Like they get it and they're like, they immediately have an emotional response to it.
Yeah.
Because people are not taught anymore but people have not been taught to be responsible digital citizens. So most of us, I think, in our cultures and our societies in school, we're taught to be like there's a certain amount of etiquette, there's a certain amount of rules placed on how you communicate, how you would talk to a teacher, how you would talk to a peer, how you would talk to a parent. It's all different. It's all taught. It's that communication that you learn. I personally, and I'm taking this as my standpoint, and it's not something I've heard talked about enough, which is why I will happily pick up the mantle on this one.
I mean, like I said, you, at that two-day conference, you said you didn't.
I was really disappointed. I mean, I know I had high expectations of something that probably, like, this is might not have been the place that this should come out, but there were two issues tied to this topic I really wanted to hear about. I wanted to hear more about what is the role of the business in teaching and encouraging responsible digital citizenry, and, you know, how can people then engage and interact and have more meaningful, effective communications in the digital space? Because the other big factor of digital is that people feel, and this is an illusion now, people feel that there's a huge amount of anonymity. They think that, well, I can make up a username, I can put a different picture on my profile, and poof, I am invisible.
Right.
I can say and do whatever I want. It's like literally when you were like 3 years old and you used to think that if you couldn't see someone's eyes, they couldn't see you. Do you remember doing that? Like you would hide behind like a four-inch pole, and you'd be like, oh, I can't see them. They can't see. I'm invisible. That's how people think about the internet. They think like, oh, they can't see me. They don't know who I am. They do. It's not that hard to figure it out. And even more so, you're basically acting in a super irresponsible way because you're hiding behind a fake face.
Right.
You're that annoying person that's, you know, pranking people in your neighborhood and leaving flaming turds on people's doors.
Yeah.
Nobody likes you. It's not a surprise. But, like, that behavior in our world is taught that it's not acceptable and that you have to be a responsible citizen. There needs to be classes and there needs to be more touch points with the public, and I think personally, I think brands have an opportunity. They don't have to. Schools and all that, parents can take the role, but I think brands, certain brands, have a huge opportunity to step in and say, we're going to be really responsible citizens, digital citizens, and how we communicate to you and our audiences and our employees, and we're going to teach you what that means and how that should look.
Yeah, and I think the anonymity thing that you mentioned, it was like in my brain. That was my next comment.
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's like people think they're anonymous. They think that for some reason that anonymity that's essentially not real anymore, especially the way the internet is now. You cannot hide on the internet anymore. It empowers people, but I don't know why. I had the belief that the people that do those or leave those kind of comments are terribly sad themselves.
It's true, and I will say that that is mostly on point because one of the many joys that I get to do is teach social customer service, which you've not dealt with really unhappy people until you've dealt with people who've paid somebody money, not gotten what they wanted, and then are up your butt about all the ways you suck. And they love doing it in a public forum because they feel that the more nasty they are to a brand specifically, but even just general people, the more attention it's going to get. Like the idea of the squeaky wheel gets the grease or whatever. It is true and it's not true. There's also the misconception that negativity just disappears into the void and doesn't come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. Like putting that kind of negativity out into the world, even to a brand, even it might be a valid complaint, but until you understand how to communicate it in a way that's not so negative, you're only going to become more miserable. You're not going to get a satisfying resolution or a response out of it. And the more, like, more of an a-hole you are, the less happy with any kind of feedback you're going to be. And it's just going to be this self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah, it's going to be the negative feedback.
So you literally see, like, we evaluate part of the process in social customer service is that you evaluate, you have a response protocol. And one of your first steps is to identify whether somebody is a troll. And that means that even if they are coming to you with a valid issue, if you follow your usual protocol, if you see that all they're doing on their social account is posting negativity, then we deprioritize them. Huh. Because, and I mean, I can't speak for every company out there, but this is just kind of how we recommend companies handle this. Because frequently, unless they have a huge following and they also share like valid insights, if all they do is bitch online, then that's all that they are. They're just a whole bunch of negative talk, and they just want to get a rise out of people. That's all they want to do. They just troll people.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody like, you know, most people I don't think are trolls.
Right.
The trolls online are super obnoxious and really, really irritating, but they're a relatively small percentage, even though they do get a lot of attention, and that's the problem. Everybody pays them a lot more attention. One social media personality that I heard said that for every 100 good things that people say about you in social media, it's the one negative that's going to like stick with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Like that really sucks. And I mean, that's why, like, it's definitely another reason that depression and everything is a result from social media.
Right.
Because even reading comments, like, it doesn't even have to be directed at you. That negativity seeps through the screen, even if it's not meant for you.
Right. Yeah, negativity has much more powerful effect than positivity, which is sad to say.
Energy, people.
Yeah.
It's so pretty amazing.
Well, this is something I think it's probably, maybe it's a little bit of departure from the fitness and health topics we normally talk about, but this is certainly in the area of wellness. I mean, geez, anxiety and depression. We definitely talk about that a
health
lot.
Health and wellness, yeah.
So this is definitely in that arena. And speaking of that arena, I think we've got, I know we've got an episode coming up where we're going to kind of share our thoughts about where the fitness, health, and wellness arena or industry will be going, the trends that will be happening come next year.
Yeah. And we're also going to revisit the previous year's episode. So at the very beginning of 2018, we sat down and we gathered up our predictions for what the big health and fitness and wellness, or actually health and fitness, trends were going to be for 2018. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at those and we're going to see how right we were or wrong. And then we're going to make our predictions for 2019.
Boom.
And I will say that one of my predictions, I'm just giving a teaser here, one of my predictions has to do with digital wellness.
I think it's true. It's a huge part of our life now. I mean, you can't deny it that it's taken a hold of a large chunk of a lot of people's lives. So
yeah.
It's a great topic.
And I'm not just talking like digital and social media detox. I think that those are the patch for how, you know, people are responding to all of this onslaught of negativity coming from social media. But I'll get into it more and exactly what I mean. I actually put it on my Instagram today or tomorrow. I haven't decided when to post it. But it should be up already.
What's your Instagram?
My Instagram?
Yeah.
Shannon JP.
Shannon JP. All right.
That's my Instagram, Shannon JP. And I actually talk a little bit about what digital wellness is. It's actually a positive thing.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And tune in next week. Is it next week?
No.
Tune in soon.
It's going to be the first podcast of 2019.
Right. Tune in soon to hear those predictions. All right.
We've already got
We do have a couple more episodes coming to you guys before the end of the year. Maybe maybe like a recap of this year. A few of our favorite things.
Yeah, we've got a few more tricks up our sleeve for you.
So once again, guys, check out our past episodes. You can all find out all about them on addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. A little bit more extensive show notes for each episodes are up there. And then you guys can once again go to iTunes or the Apple Podcast app and give us a rating and review, which we are very appreciative at this time of year.
Definitely listen. If you like the podcast, listen, subscribe to previous podcast episodes, and share.
Yeah. Yeah.
Share the love this time of year, especially. I love sharing podcasts that I love. I actually have a whole highlight on my Instagram stories.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Where I keep all of the podcasts I recommend.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll do that too. You're smart. All right, you got anything else for them this week?
No, let's go eat some ice cream.
Okay. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time. For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.